So here's a question. What are some of the attributes in Jesus that you consider evidence of his divinity? Just call out words. What are some of the attributes in Jesus that you consider evidence of his divinity? Love, an obvious one.
Healing.
Healing, got it.
Service.
Yep.
Forgiveness,
miracles, good.
Calm.
Yeah.
Well,
there's only that one time he wasn't calm. So, the next question is, do you have any of those qualities? On a good day? Yeah. In traditional Christianity, Jesus is believed to have brought God to the earth. He was so different and unusual that people who met him could only conclude he was a god. But each of us brings God to the earth. We just have to let it out. So we're talking today about allowing the divine to express as me. This shows up in every spiritual tradition. The idea that we're divine, we're made in the image of God, we contain God within us. It's an experience, it's an identity. I am the presence and power. We affirm it at the end of every service. I am the light of God, the love of God. It's not just what we do, but who we came here to be. It's who we naturally are. We really don't have to try. We just don't want to block it. Nothing we learn or discover will add anything to our divine identity. It already is. The hard work is holding that center. It's maintaining the sense of serenity and simplicity, of compassion and forgiveness that comes naturally to us. And there are moments when we glimpse our divine identity, often in hindsight. You might realize you showed up as love or peace, or you spoke the word and created something. You comforted someone by saying the right thing. In a difficult situation, you just somehow knew what to do and when to do it. As me is realizing the truth of who you are and living from it effortlessly. In this church, we have different names for as me. We've called it divine consciousness, unapologetic divinity, living as the Christ. We've called it oneness, enlightenment, super consciousness, divine identity, and I am. And we've described it in different ways too. We're drops of ocean water, containing all the elements of the ocean, part of that whole. We've talked about spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is the God part of us, and we're never separate from it. We always have access to life, love, and wisdom. God is all there is, so we are part of God. We just awaken to this as the essential reality of who we are. In this series, we've been looking at levels or realms of consciousness, ways that humans on a spiritual journey show up in the world, to me, by me, through me, as me. We tend to develop them in order, but we can access any of them on any given day. We are probably born with divine awareness, but before most of us can put it into words, we're taught something else. We're taught life is tough, you have to work hard, and things just happen to you. To me is the lowest level of consciousness, and it makes us the most unhappy. Life happens to me. Maybe we get angry about it, maybe we feel like helpless victims. Eventually, we learn we have a choice about how to react, how to think and feel about what happens to us. But life still seems to come from somewhere outside of us, and we think we have no control. Until, one day, we're introduced to the idea that we are the creators of our own experience. Our thoughts have creative power. Life happens by me, according to what I think and say. And it's fun for a long time to try to focus your thoughts on what you want. And sometimes you see it come into being. You can manifest jobs, houses, partners, or love, health, opportunities, even peace in your life. But there's still more power available. We don't have to think of everything ourselves. We can surrender to let Spirit work through us, allow the divine to flow through us. Through me is a conscious partnership with a stronger, wiser energy. Call it God, the higher self, the soul, the divine within, the universe, or life. Or think of it as angels or guides or even Jesus. We let that energy through. Jesus lived most of the time in as me. He was not trying to be holy. He didn't have to stop and remember to let the divine flow through him. It's just who he was. He had to keep circumstances and input from his five senses in perspective. He had to get away from the crowds frequently to readjust, realign, and remember who he was. Jesus constantly affirmed his divine identity. I and the Father are one. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am is that God part of us, our divine power. That's what Jesus said is the way, the truth, and the life. I am is the way to God. Our eternal connection is the truth and the life. Jesus, bless his heart, kept trying to tell us who we are. He said, "Don't you know you are God's?" He told us, "You are the light of the world." He said anything he was doing, we could do and more. Jesus recognized and affirmed his divinity, and then he used words and actions to release the light, life, and substance of Spirit. To do that, he had to overcome the world. And that's what we have to do as well. That's how we live with God as me. Thomas Troward was a retired British judge who became a metaphysical writer in the very early 1900s. He wrote, "My mind is a center of divine operation," meaning God exists as me. He said, "Since the divine cannot change its inherent nature, it must operate in the same manner with me. God is, I am. As above, so below." He said, "Consequently, in my own special world, of which I am the center, it will move forward to produce new conditions, always in advance of any that have gone before." We already said God is operating in and as you. You learned your co-creative powers in by me. You learned to surrender in through me. So how is as me different? It kind of pulls everything together. Jesus is not our only example of as me. Buddha is a title that means one who is awake. It seems increasingly common for people to have an experience of awakening, a period of love and oneness when they see the unity of all things and the love that undergirds the universe. Sometimes they say they see it on a grid. And others of us who haven't seen that or felt it take it on faith. But a shift is underway, don't you think? More and more people see themselves as spiritual beings, a part of something greater. So how does that show up in our lives? Because living like Jesus or Buddha can seem unattainable. So what does our divinity look like? We are not the first people to ask this question. Buddhism has an eightfold path for how to live awake. It includes right relationship to yourself and to life. Not right in the sense of right and wrong, but wholeness. How to live in wholeness and oneness. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul talks about fruits of the Spirit, those qualities we exhibit when we're living in divine consciousness. Unity has something called the 12 powers. They're on these quilts. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, made this list of divine qualities that he believed are hardwired into every human. Linda Martella-Whitsitt, the Unity minister in San Antonio, has written a book about how to live from these 12 powers, how to express these attributes of God in us. The book is titled Divine Audacity. The chaplains have been studying it. This is who we came to be. This is what's possible for us. This is what Jesus and Buddha and others kept trying to tell us, to call us higher, to convince us our true nature is divine. And that is audacious. Charles Fillmore said, "We know that we're sons of God. Why not acknowledge it and proceed to take possession of it?" Abraham Hicks, more recently, has tried to explain it. You don't have to work at being in the high vibration that is natural to you, because it is natural to you. But you do have to stop holding the thoughts that cause you to lower your vibration. It's a matter of no longer giving your attention to things that don't allow you to vibrate in harmony with who you really are. So how do you live from higher levels of consciousness? How do you make contact with your higher self? You ask. There is a version of you living at a higher vibration or level of consciousness, and it would love to hear from you. I've been giving this series as a summer rerun, and I've tweaked all the talks a little, but this one is different. From here on out, this one is new. Because I've learned some things, or maybe I've just learned new ways to say old things. These are not unity terms, but for the purposes of discussion, let's call this earthly level of time, space, and personality third density, and let's call the level we're seeking fourth density. I like that better than human and divine, because it's so easy to fall into that dualistic human bad, divine good. So just third and fourth density, different levels of vibration. There are others above that, and there is a version of you living at each level, your future self, your higher self. This is hard for us to imagine because we believe in time, but all these versions of you exist now. And you can communicate with yourself at these levels. All you have to do is ask. Your higher self can't help you unless you ask. It has to have your permission, but it is available and eager. So think of it this way. Say you have two grandchildren, or maybe nieces, somewhere between 12 and 18 years old enough to make their own phone calls and send emails and text. One niece is preoccupied with boys and hair and her friends, but the other one keeps in touch with you. So, for instance, if this were my niece, she might say, "Aunt Ellen, I have a presentation to give in speech class, and you speak all the time. Would you help me prepare this talk and tell me some of what you know about speaking?" Of course, I'd be happy to help. I could help the other niece too, but she hasn't asked. And I'm not going to call her and say, "Let me tell you how to give a speech." In exactly the same way, your higher self waits for your permission. To get help from your higher self, just ask. You can call it your divine self, but actually it is no more divine than you are sitting here today. It's just more aware of it. It's living at the level where you want to live, not even as an ultimate divine being, but just the next step up. You can ask for a hand up in any way you like. Call it prayer, claim it, demand it, command it. Your higher self does not care the words you use. It senses your energy. And the more energy you send up, the more it can send down. The measure you give is the measure you get back. And the energy of yourself at higher levels is free and available as sunshine and just as unlimited. So to start living in fourth density, divine consciousness, we first connect with our higher selves who are already there. What happens in fourth density? We start living at a new frequency or energetic vibration. It's like changing channels on your television. A different frequency allows you to see all new things. You see opportunities you didn't see before. You see doors opening where you didn't know there were doors. You can't see them from where you are now. For the same reason you can't see your higher self from where you are now, it's at a different level of vibration. You have to be at that new frequency to see what's there. Just as you have to be tuned into the Discovery Channel to see what's there to be discovered. You shift frequency by living in a different way. We'll talk about this at the women's retreat. You'll get a big dose of it at Dream Builder Live. Ideas of living at a higher frequency. It starts with creating a vision for what you want your life to be. Then you use that vision like a mirror so you can match yourself to it, shift your frequency to its level. In third density, you look around at the existing pieces and try to arrange them in new ways. In fourth density, you change yourself. You change the way you live by becoming the person you want to be. A lot of us in this room are making that shift. So we live in third and fourth density. For instance, if you're sick, third density is to go to a doctor, take medication, have surgery. In fourth density, you visualize yourself well. You stay in a consciousness of divine healing. You shut out the appearance of illness and focus on the perfection of your divine self. Of course you can do both. Right now in our world, people who try only fourth density methods are often criticized. Remember when Steve Jobs did not get traditional cancer treatment? He wanted to try other methods. He got a lot of criticism, especially after he died. But consider this. If you came into this life to practice fourth density living, to elevate yourself spiritually, you will probably put yourself into situations where there's no choice but to practice fourth density methods. I had a minister friend who said, it's when life is stripped down to nothing but you and God. When there are no obvious pieces to pick up and rearrange at familiar levels. And this can be brought about by illness, divorce, grief. This is why I'm willing to say we do create the hard times in our lives. They are for our soul's growth, because they force us to find higher level solutions and at least explore our divine consciousness. Third density is work, work, work. It's fighting cancer and battling for better government and working for a better life. It's the war on drugs and the war on poverty. Fourth density principles are not based on correcting what is. Jesus said, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. He meant don't give energy to existing realities. It is nothing but the manifestation of our thoughts up until now. Our goal is to manifest something new at the energetic level, not just to rearrange what's already here. We're still working in third density, in by me and through me. We're consciously trying to remember who we are and what's possible for us to create. We have to remember to surrender. But in as me, we just are. Loving, forgiving, compassionate, wise, zealous, everything you see on the quilts. It's effortless because it is our nature. The difficulty in our current world is to have the courage to use fourth density principles, because it can appear we're not doing anything. The millennials who are accused of not working hard enough might already be at a higher vibration than older generations. They already see it differently. Somehow they know working harder is not the answer. Looking outside yourself for solutions is not the answer. So when you ask your higher self for solutions, it probably won't come in a nice third density package, like, well, try this doctor instead of that doctor. That would defeat the purpose of your spiritual growth. Instead, it will call you higher into your own divine identity. So if you hear yourself saying, I've tried everything and it's not working, work is the key word there. It's not about working harder. It's not even about trying. It's about shifting your frequency. And the way to do it, at least to start, is to ask your higher self for help. There's a part of you that's already there. Your higher self is at the frequency you want. It knows the situations you face. It is happy to help you, like you'd be happy to help a niece or a grandchild. In fact, don't you love being asked for your wisdom? And if they were struggling, wouldn't you be relieved that they finally asked for help? And you would hope that someday they'll catch up and surpass you. You're not turning to anything outside yourself when you contact your higher self. You're getting in touch with a part of you that's more aware of your connection to the source of all things. So you might be wondering, if I ask my higher self for help, what will it make me do? That will be different for everyone. You will be guided. And we talked last week about the different ways we receive guidance, the clairs, seeing, hearing, feeling, knowing, all the ways intuition speaks to you. What I notice when I make a point to ask my higher self for help is that I have better ideas. Suddenly I know what to write or what to say. And often I forget I ask for help, and I give myself credit for things going so well until I remember, oh yeah. It's as if you're living in a valley and your higher self is on a mountaintop. It can tell you where to make turns when you can't see what's ahead, even if those turns don't make sense to you yet. So finally, we are living as God on earth. We have overcome to me most days. We've moved from seeing ourselves as pawns on God's chessboard to participants in God's creation. We learned our own creative power in by me. We partnered with an even greater power in through me, opening a channel to allow divine light and love onto the planet. And now in as me, we've come full circle, returning to our true nature, but while we are still on earth. Emerson called it the wise silence, the universal beauty, the eternal one. The author Elizabeth Gilbert said, "We don't realize that somewhere within us all, there does exist a supreme self who is eternally at peace." And Oprah said, "I live from the inside out. So everything that I have because I let it be fueled by who I am and what I realize my contributions to this planet could be. As me." We all came with contributions to make. Maybe not to change the world, but to change our world. And in doing so, to let others see what is possible for them. I think the Great Awakening is happening faster all the time around the globe. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. And for meditation today, I want to read the Daily Word from just this past Friday, because it was about this very thing, living as a divine being on earth. I thought it was exceptionally good, and it summarizes everything we've said today. So instead of zoning out in meditation today, I invite you just to listen to this description of as me. This was August 26, 2016. The brilliant light of my divinity illumines my humanity. I accept every aspect of my humanity because I am the vessel that carries the brilliant light of the divine into the world. I ensure that my thoughts and actions are infused with love and wisdom by first turning within to my Christ presence or higher self. I cast aside any limiting judgments, opinions, or barriers that the world might try to heap on me. Through divine eyes, I now understand that decisions and actions that appeared to have been mistakes or failures were just part of my path to know my divinity more fully. I am growing. I am evolving. Nothing about my human self can block the light of truth that's seeking to shine through my life. My thoughts celebrate my humanity as I become a reflection of God in the world. And as you take another deep breath, exhale knowing that divinity is your natural state. Your humanity cannot block it. It expresses it. Let the divine shine through you now. You are the light of the world. Amen.